This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Here's a 2-0. That is ripped into right, back at the wall. See ya! Home run! What a start. Yankees on top, 1-0.
Joe Buck back in our lives. There he is on ESPN today, opening day, Yankees Brewers. Austin Wells talked about this last couple of days briefly. A catcher batting leadoff for the Yankees, but that's what we've got. He gets on base, and first time up this year, he got on all of them. Leadoff home run. 1-0, Yankees in the second. Toronto hosting Baltimore, yet to start. Ceremony. If they had a ceremony planned for 3 o'clock or 3:07, why would they have listed first pitch at 3:07 and not, like, it's 3:32? You could have just told us. It doesn't sound like it right now, but I love that it's all starting. 8:03:05:50. With baseball starting today, mostly, you know, kind of the real opening day. Hate to have to qualify that every time, but I need you to know that I am aware there were two games last week in Tokyo. Your favorite team and why? I wonder if it's more diverse than it used to be, if it's the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Mets or the Blue Jays, than it is. But, you know, some of you already have called in with interesting backstories. Let's go to Norm here. Hi, Norm.
Hey, how are you, Mike? Good to talk to you, buddy.
Same. Thanks.
So my story is probably not unlike yours or anybody else's, but I came from a working-class family in Buffalo. We drove very early on a Saturday morning to Boston, didn't know I was going to see opening day and see the Boston team. And then we drove after that matinee game on a Saturday to see a matinee game in Cleveland to watch my first Indians game. Very, very exciting back then. And as I got a little bit older, we used to spend the springtime in Sarasota Siesta Key at the Ed Smith Stadium and watch the Chicago White Sox. Seeing Bo Jackson and Michael Jordan right there, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet away. And, wow, what a team back then.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. But, yeah, I guess he would have been there.
Going a few years back.
So which team stuck with you?
The Cleveland Indians,
Cleveland.
For sure.
Okay.
Working class team. However, sitting underneath the Citgo sign in Boston for the most amazing Philly cheesesteaks on the planet, food versus team, probably they don't go hand in hand, but I think they do.
Very good. Thanks, Norm. I follow a woman on Twitter named Lucy Burge. She was with Bet when it was BetQL and then BetMGM. I don't think she is any longer. But one of her things, she finds accounts like minor league baseball or just sports team accounts where they have some new food item. I got to get this for you. I responded to her. I've never met her. We did a podcast together once, but that's it. She just responds with like, would or would not. Would you eat this? And this one today, the Hartford, this is offensive to me. Most of these are just like, you know how the Sabres do it, the dog of the day. It's a foot-long hot dog with like some other popular, with a Reuben sandwich on top of it or something like that. Like, all right. What you're getting is basically, you're getting two things that you like. You're getting Travis Hunter. You're getting a hot dog, and you're getting a Reuben. Okay, well, they're combined, whatever. I can live with that. The Hartford Yard Goats, which apparently is a team, the Yard Goats unveil the Float Your Goat. And I saw this through Lucy. A quarter-pound all-beef hot dog with chopped peppers, onions, bacon, and brown mustard. Fine, good. Submerged in a glass of goat milk. No.
You lost me on that.
No.
Yeah.
Oh. No. I can't even look at it. Feel free to try it. Feel free to try to look at it. I mean, I don't even care if it's goat milk or milk. No. Mustard is on this thing. Don't take my hot dog and just drown it in milk. I can't think of a worse idea. I'd rather it be bourbon or something. You know, give it a little bit of a kick. Milk. No. She said she would eat it, but that's a no for me dog, literally. Here is Ray next. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Mike. First of all, I got to thank you for frightening me. Every time I go near a tennis can, soup can, vegetable can, I always think about you slicing yourself, and I don't want it happening.
Oh, wow.
To me I think it was from your high school days.
That happened to me once. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, it stuck with me, so thank you.
Okay.
My story, I'm right behind you in age. I'm 51, and growing up before cable, you had your choice of, you know, WPIX, WOR, and maybe, I don't know, was it CTV sometimes for the Blue Jays?
Sure, yes.
And as far as like when you're growing up, I mean, at that age, whatever, 9, 10, I don't know the history of these teams, so it was based on the broadcast. I couldn't stand WOR, and I don't know, maybe because CTV was Canada, So by default, it was the Yankees. Then as you get older, you know, you start to know the history. And I loved Mattingly. He was my favorite player. You know, Winfield, Randolph, those guys. It was just after Bucky Dent, so I wasn't really too aware of that. But it was the darn broadcast that got me into the Yankees. You know, I didn't have a father that watched baseball. It's just that's the way it was.
I can appreciate that. I mean, I loved the Met broadcast with Kiner, who was just a mess.
I liked McCarver.
Yeah, me too. McCarver. Yeah, me too.
But I had no idea Kiner was a player. You know, I didn't know he was a good as a 9-year-old. I don't know. You know,
oh, right.
Start
right.
Off fresh at a clean slate at that point.
You also, and by the way, I think of the broadcast for this too. You also had the Expos on CBC on Saturday nights. And
yeah.
That was Dave Van Horn, who might be still working, and Duke Snyder.
Yes, yes. Oh, very good.
Yeah.
And thank you for turning me on to the Immaculate Grid. I love okay. Playing that, too.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, cool. The broadcast means a lot. Tony Kubek would do the Blue Jay games in at least some of those years. Yeah, that could mean a lot. Let's go to Greg next. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Mike. Enjoy the topic. I started off as a Cleveland fan simply because I was my first Little League team was the Indians, so that that led me to Cleveland, and then I think I switched because Dad took us to watch an actual Cleveland game. But
and that scared you straight.
Yeah, but that was right about the time that Pete Rose came into the league, and I just took him to heart as an idol, and always felt that if I played smarter and harder and with more heart than anybody else, I could have more success than maybe my talent would have brought me to, and that came to fruition. But the diversity part of it really comes in with our family.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad was a White Sox fan because he was a minor league player in the White Sox organization for a period of time.
All right.
They then got a place down in St. Petersburg, and my mother became a Tampa Bay Rays fan. I was the Reds. My brother played for the Tigers in Little League when he was a teenager, and that's right about the time the 68 Tigers won the World Series. So he's a Tigers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And my son is a Red Sox fan because none of us like the Yankees and want to jump on that big bandwagon that everybody seemed to jump on.
You know, the Little League piece I hadn't thought of, but I bet that's a popular reason for kids aligning with teams.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. It's your first real member as a team, and you adopt it.
Yeah. And thank you, Greg. I appreciate your call. That I think, has changed. I don't know, this might vary town to town, but when I played Little League baseball, we didn't have, like, logos. We had colors. So the first year I was the Pirates because we had yellow. The second year I was the Royals because we had royal blue. The Red Sox, but we never had, like, a Royals hat. We had a hat that said GI on it. It was always, I think now, like, when my kids were on an Expos team and their hat was the Expos. Like, that's way better. That would have maybe helped shape where I was going. But by the time I started playing baseball, I already was like, you know, I knew all the players and the stats. And, like, I was all set, I think, by, like, 6 years old. I was that kid. Not bragging, but it made for a complicated, at times challenging childhood. We have Austin Wells and then later Anthony Volpe homering for the Yankees in their opener against Milwaukee. So 2-0. I think it's weird to see a Yankee game and the pitcher has a beard. I'm not sure that it sort of struck me first that it was weird, or that I just know that for the first time ever, the Yankees are allowing facial hair, like, below the lips. So here's Carlos Rodon. It's not the best beard you've ever seen. It's more like a second round NHL playoff series playoff beard, but it's a beard, and that I've never seen before. Yankees were allowed mustaches, but never beards until this year. They buckled to the pressure. Here's Tony next. Hi, Tony.
Mike, I was much more excited for this phone call until you told me about those two Yankee home runs with Freddie Peralta starting for me.
Oh.
In one of my leagues today.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's long season. Baseball could not possibly be more in the air for me. I'm headed to a practice right now at a venue you're familiar with from we've run into each other there in the fall. So between that and tracking the fantasy portfolio, not comparable to your football one, but enough for me anyways. Yeah, I'm pretty amped about a day like today for sure. I was a Yankees guy, Mike. It was the grandparents for me, and that lasted from early childhood. Where I would put the Yankees right there with the Bills and Sabres as far as how I lived and died by, you know, those teams. I can still remember them going into exhibition for a three-game series to end the season in 85. They needed all three. Might have got the first one before Butch Weiniger flew out in the second game of that series. And, you know, you either won the division or that was it.
The good old days.
Yeah, well, who knows? But for me, I think I like a few more teams. It's probably watered down now, but I do like the wild cards. Where it switched on the Yanks for me was when guys like Tino and Scott Brosius became Giambi and A-Rod.
Okay.
And I am so grateful to have found fantasy baseball, because I've shifted from a team to just my absolute love of players and probably even a broader spectrum of love for the game by being, you know, as doggone passionate about it as you and many of your listeners are, around football time. So That's where the fire stays lit for me. And hopefully others out there. I love going into deep drafts with local guys because, it's hard to find each other sometimes.
Right. Yeah, right. Very good. Thank you, Tony. I don't want to say that fantasy gets a bad rap because millions of people play it and are even obsessed with it. It's a little bit much to sort of go straw man. But, once in a while I'll hear somebody say, like, who cares? I'm not reading you my roster anyway. I just think it's a way of talking about the game, whatever the sport is, that I think you can relate to. And it's fun for a lot of people, even specifically in that context. But what it did for me, football or baseball too, when I stopped really caring about teams, is it allowed for me to learn who everybody was to a greater extent. And I wanted that. And I didn't even really know that I wanted that. But like, I'm in a few baseball leagues, only one for money. Only one. No portfolio. Just one for money. I'm looking. That's what's on my computer screen, though, right now. There it is. Like, that. I enjoyed getting back connected with the sport. And that's how it, made sense to me. That's what I wanted. That's what it did for me. So, yeah, like that fantasy does play that role, and that's true for any sport, I suppose. Very good. By the way, Tony and Ray, Yankees fans from the 80s, don't let Sal fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. The winningest team in the decade of the 1980s was the Yankees. Yankee fans tend to tell you that they were bad. They won more games in the 80s than any other franchise. Maybe that's bad when you're winning back-to-back in the 70s and you're winning 4 out of 5 in the 90s. Sure, I get it. It wasn't championships. And, that's how we do it. But the Yankees won more games in the 80s than any other team. Okay, this has been fun. Let's keep going. You might have a favorite team. Why is it your favorite team? What's the story? 803-0550. We'll have Pat Malacaro on to commemorate the start of the Bison season tomorrow, talk about how they line up and what to look forward to. And then Sal at 5, Paul at 6 for the pregame show, the Sabres hosting Pittsburgh. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Shope on WGR.